You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
So should we talk about this project now? What a Time to Be Alive?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So there's been whispers of a Drake and Future project for a little while.
Yeah, we broke the story on CRS about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
DJ Ski has sort of sent a tweet out that it was going to drop, I think, that night.
Yeah, there were a lot of false starts with getting this out, and I think I know why. So it's because, and I think I read the sign, was it Hits Daily Double? I can't remember. So the album is put out as a Cash Money with Epic thing. So Epic is, I think that's Sony, but it's, that's Future's label. So
right.
Mm-hmm. L.A. Reid, who is the head of Epic, he pushed for this to be a retail release. So there were like behind the scenes negotiations of like, oh, well, we should actually have this for sale versus should we put this out? I suspect that has a lot to do why there was a bunch of false starts with getting this out. Because, you know, despite the fact that it's Drake, despite the fact that people sort of think that he could just, oh, he's got to deal with Apple, he can just put stuff out and blah, blah, blah. No, all this stuff has to get cleared. People have to sign contracts. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that has to happen. And even considering, I think it's amazing how fast this actually happened, because this album was made over 6 days in August, this mixtape or project or whatever you want to call it. And for the label to move that fast is pretty good. But,
yeah.
You know, because I've seen a couple things from people. I've seen people calling this a cash grab, from like blaming Drake and Future. And I'm just like, actually, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm sure they don't mind the money. But like, first of all, it's a risk putting something that you have described as a mixtape, putting that out up for sale. But it's because the labels want that money. They're not dumb. L.A. Reid saw what If You're Reading This, It's Too Late did and said, nope, I want some of that, because that's his job.
Right.
Right. That's why Future has a record. That's why Future has a record deal. It's so that when Drake goes down to Atlanta to record what was only supposed to be a handful of songs, and they decide to just keep recording. If L.A. Reid is paying for those recording sessions, then he's not going to put that out as a free project. Like, that's crazy.
Absolutely.
And it seems really clear, at least for Drake, and I don't know if this is applicable for anybody else, but I think there are a number of people for whom this is true. I'm pretty sure Drake in 2015 has just put the nail in the coffin of whatever existed of, I'm a really big name artist and I'm going to put out a free project. Because people are paying.
They are.
Two things. Number one, people are paying. And then for a lot of other people, they're streaming. So they're paying, but they don't feel like they're paying. And then frankly, the people who are going to download it illegally are still going to get it.
Right.
So why would you put it out for free anyway?
Right. Agreed.
Right. Like, especially Drake's setup where Apple's going to promote it.
Exactly. So what do you say to those who, I mean, basically, you're basically talking about Android users. We don't have access to Apple Music and iTunes.
Right. You know, so Apple Music comes to Android in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting to see if Android users pick up on that, because Beats used to be on Android. So they've had the Beats team working on it.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting.
If they offer the 3 month trial, I'm going to give it a whirl.
Yeah. And so there's that. The other thing is, you know, we are in the exclusive game right now with streaming services.
Right. Right.
And Drake is by far Apple's biggest weapon. So, you know, Tidal signed up a bunch of people, but you're not seeing a whole bunch of like this type of exclusive stuff. And even in this case, it's only exclusive for a week. Like, I believe it'll be on Spotify a week after. So a week from actually on Sunday it'll be on Spotify, or Monday, or whenever it is. But so they only got a week exclusivity out of it.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So, but this is what we're going into. You know, it's going to be a fight right now, because there's too many people involved in streaming services.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you just don't, you know, it's not the same thing, but it's like, you know, there are markets have a way of coalescing around a handful of big names. Like, there's a reason why there's not like five or six different like video game companies out in it. Like, you know, there's Sony, Nintendo, and there's Microsoft making consoles.
Yep.
Remember back in like the early 90s when like 3DO tried to do stuff and Atari came back? Like, eventually it was like, nope, we can have three at most. Right.
Yeah.
With smartphones, Windows was trying to do their thing, and they're still trying, but they're not going anywhere. BlackBerry was trying to do some stuff, and you know, for a while, Nokia was even separate, not with Microsoft yet. But you know what? It's Android and iPhone. Like, yeah. a lot of markets tend to come down to like two or three options.
Yeah.
Streaming video seems to be a little different, but that's just because people are used to spending a lot of money on cable TV. So there's a lot of slices that you can get out of that. So when people, you know, get rid of cable TV, they see that whatever $100 a month they used to spend, and all of a sudden paying for Hulu, Netflix, and something else isn't that big of a deal because you're still saving money. Yeah. So streaming video is a little different, but everything else, like, I feel like there's just only a certain amount of things, and only really like big music nerds are going to have multiple streaming subscriptions. Most people are going to have one. So right now it's just a big competition. Like, who can survive? Who has the deepest pockets? Who can pay for exclusives? Like, Apple paid Drake $19 million.
Yeah. Now, did they pay Drake $19 million or did they pay cash money? Like, does cash money get a cut of that?
I don't think so. Wow. I think it's with Drake, because even still, like, all these releases aren't on Apple Music. I mean, they're not like on Apple as like a music label, right? It is, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe cash money is getting a cut of it, right? But this is certainly a different sort of thing, right? Where it's like, they're doing this for Drake because they know, you know, we saw what he did with the SoundCloud stuff. We're going to take that to OVO Radio. You know, we've seen that he can put out these surprise projects before. We're going to put that, you know, we're going to get that exclusive at first. You know, they got the exclusive at a Dre's Compton album. Like, you know, it's the era of exclusives right now.
Am I listening to the album right now?
Who?
Don't do that. Don't do that with no Dr. Dre album. Man. Don't do that.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting album to revisit at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these albums will.
Yeah. So all that to say, I was on a rant. I forgot where I was really going. But so all that to say, the music streaming business will boil down to a handful of people too. Like, you know, if you want to buy like music, there's Apple, there's Google and Amazon, right? Three. I mean, there are other services, but nobody really cares about them, right? Like, if you're buying music, like digital music, not streaming, if you're buying them, those are the three main options.
Right.
And a lot of that comes down to like, what phone do you have or what are you used to using? So like, I feel like we'll get something relatively similar. Now, Spotify was sort of the first one, not the first one there, but they're like the first really popular one there to streaming. So like, they're hanging around for a while and they might make it, but there's only going to be two or three.
Yeah.
Let's say it's three. So let's say it's Spotify. Let's give them benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go ahead and I don't think Apple Music will be leading. I think Spotify has a great reputation, but yeah. they're gonna stick with it. They're gonna throw money at it. So who's number three? Who's it gonna be, right?
So you've got Google, you've got Tidal.
Google can't really figure it out because they're trying to like do stuff through YouTube. That's a complicated setup.
I have Google Play, I have Google Stream, and it's like, it's really weird when you want to play a song, it tries to force you to play the YouTube video. I don't want to watch the video. I want to listen to the song.
Well, it's because they can get ads off the YouTube, but you probably they get ads.
I get it from a business standpoint.
Right.
But as the user, and that's my biggest gripe with Android. They make great stuff. They just do a terrible job of its function with functionality.
Right. So all that to say, we're in this era of exclusives right now. You know, Drake is Apple Music's biggest weapon.
Until Kanye comes out?
Have we figured out, is Kanye with anybody? Has anybody ponied up yet?
The rumor was that he was signing to Apple Music.
Right, but I mean, I don't know.
Right, it's about to be October.
Seems like whatever they threw at Drake, that was not a bad amount of money to spend.
Agreed. I think they're getting a return on their investment. I agree.
Right, because here's what people don't realize. I mean, so like that money sounds like a lot of money, right? But like already, already, I think, I don't know, like 10 million people are on the trial. I've been on the trial already. And it's, you know, it's 10 bucks a month, right? So if Drake putting out these projects convinces, like just over the course of a year, convinces a million people to stick with it, maybe that's a big number. Maybe it's, let's say he convinces, I don't know, 100,000 people to keep it for a whole year.
Yeah. Right?
That's $1 million a month. So that's $12 million in the first year. Never mind all the other benefits they might get off of it. So like, it's not going to, it doesn't, it won't take too many like Drake fans to keep on Apple Music for them to make their money back.
Agreed.
The money's there.
Agreed.
Well, it's almost, it's, now, I mean, now granted, they're only keeping 30%. So that number isn't exactly right. Right. But all that to say, for Apple, this is totally worthwhile because Tidal has a lot of artists, but they haven't really pushed the nuclear button on exclusives yet.
No, I mean, they put out a Prince project
that nobody cares about.
People found out about that project on accident.
Right. So I think Tidal will fold. There's just too many signs of like, I don't think it's an interesting idea. And the notion of trying to bet on sound quality, for some people that's worthwhile, but their execution's been awful. Yeah. And like Spotify has been around. They're no joke. Apple, when they go into an industry, they're no joke. Like they're not dealing with amateurs, you know, like if Tidal would have started signing up artists, like back when Spotify first came out, and they would have had a chance, but like everything's too good right now. So yeah, let's actually talk about this. So a little bit more. So it was put out, you know, it was decided, you know, this needs to be an actual project. So it's on Cash Money and Epic combined. And it is projected to sell an astounding amount.
Yeah, $500K to $600K, right?
I think they said, you know, upwards of 500, and that might have gone up. I don't even know. That's crazy because that's not even a full week, because the week started on Friday now, and this came out Sunday night, and that's only on iTunes.
Yeah, yeah. So then imagine what's going to happen when Android users get it and they put out views from the six. I believe that, and this was something that I saw, and maybe you can clarify this for me. I thought that Drake's last project with Cash Money was, if you're reading this, it's too late.
I don't think anybody really knows the exact terms of the deal, but Drake has some lines on this that allude that make it sound like he's got a new, like it's time for the new deal.
Yeah. He said it on I forgot what record.
Is it that Big was. Rings?
Was it Big Rings? We say he needed advance on the next one.
Right.
Now he could have been talking about he could have been talking about the OVO deal with Warner. He could have been talking about Apple.
Sure.
He's got a few deals, but I heard somebody say, I've heard a few people actually say that he's trying to put out views from the six independently.
Mm.
And his goal is to sell 1 million in a week. Right. So, you know, because Views from the Six was actually supposed to come out like around this time.
Sure.
So instead you put out this project and you give Apple more time to, you know, get on Android devices.
Or just in general. I mean,
it's just more time to build the relationship, build the brand.
Or honestly, it's like Drake is at a point in his career where, look, if he can go down to Atlanta, record for 6 days with Future.
We're going to talk about that because you keep bringing that up.
You don't think it's true?
No.
All right.
It's just, you know, it's obvious that this project was recorded in 6 days.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, we'll talk about the actual quality of music soon.
Yeah.
But all that to say, you know, you can get 500,000 first week sales, not streams, sales, right? Out of this, I mean, why would you not do it?
I don't know.
So there was no leaks off of this, really. There was no snippets, no nothing, right?
Nah.
It was just everybody sit down, listen to OVO Radio Sunday night, and then the actual project comes out 8 o'clock, right?
Yep.
All right. I want to go track by track on this because I think this is an interesting mixtape. I'm going to call it a mixtape because it's put together like a mixtape. It's clear that there are a handful of tracks on here that were, to me, supposed to be like, oh, yeah, these are the records. And there's just a whole lot of like, hey, Metro Boomin's got some beats lying around.
I think it's even deeper than that.
Okay. Well, maybe we can get to that when we go track by track. So first track, Digital Dash, produced by Metro Boomin and Southside. How do you feel about this song?
Nah.
This beat grew on me. It's immediately apparent this song sets the tone for the project. Like it's Future featuring Drake, right?
This whole project is future.
It is. It totally is.
But I'm saying that. Okay, so I'm saying that in a way where like I don't feel like they created all this music in 6 days.
Oh no, some of these beats. No, sure, the beats were lying around before.
No. I think that these songs were lying around.
Oh really?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
And Drake topped. Now I'm not saying all of these records.
Oh, you think Drake topped off on them?
Yeah, I think like he caught the melody. Future took a verse off and. You know, these are records that were because you know, if you hear the history of Future and DJ Esco, like Future records every day.
Sure.
So, you
well,
know,
then why would it be? I don't know. It's not totally inconceivable that I'm sure some of these might have been lying around in some form or another, but right. It's not inconceivable that a chunk of these were actually recorded. I mean, no. It's not like Future's breaking lyrical ground here.
Right. And then not to mention that they were on tour together. I mean, they had time.
Right. But... And the 30 for 30 freestyle at the end, I'm pretty sure that was just something else. Like, you know,
the concept of, hey, he went down to Atlanta and recorded this in 6 days. I think they finished it in 6 days. They had Future had records that Drake jumped on. They had records from tour. They had past records. Drake had a record or two. And then they just said, hey, let's sit down for 6 days and let's sort of like carve some edges out and let's put a tape together and let's go back on tour again.
Maybe. I mean, well, we'll get to it. I think there are records that actually really clearly show that they did not spend, they did not really like carve, like, you know, they did not really like actually like structure these songs. Like some of these songs are just, it's like, wait a minute, you missed huge normally for Drake would be obvious like wins, like how to close a song out or do this in a hook. And a lot of these songs are just missing that. Like there's a lot of ideas here. Some are good, some are not good. But this totally sounds like something that was recorded in a week.
Yes.
But Digital Dash, the beat grew on me. And here's what I'll say about this entire record is, have you heard this in the car yet?
I've only heard this album in the car.
Okay. You don't really want to. I mean, this is not a headphone album in any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But there's a nice stretch here that, I don't know, at least beat wise, I can really get with. Digital Dash is, it's cool. I don't love it. I don't hate it. If I'm listening to the album, I'll just keep it going. What'd you think about the line about taking Quentin to the strip club?
I didn't get that far.
Man, come on. It's a 40-minute project. Just.
I didn't get that far. On a lot of these records, I didn't get that far. I didn't get that far.
Anyway, talk about taking Quentin to Follies. that's Drake in a nutshell. You turn a weakness into a strength.
Yeah, I mean, he even mentions it again, you know, 30 for 30. And he's like,
well, that's really interesting. We'll talk about that when we get there.
All right.
Let's talk about Big Rings.
Yes.
My man, Metro Boomin. This beat is fantastic.
This beat is dope.
The hook is dumb.
Yeah.
And repetitive.
Yeah.
But it gets in your head.
Yeah.
They really missed an opportunity with the hook, though.
What opportunity was that?
So, like, the way the hook is structured, it's four lines, like ABCD, and then it's DCBA, right? And then they just ABCD again. How, for the second half of the hook, how did they not do the, what a time to be alive? Like, how do they not go do that? Because, like, think about performing this live. Like, you, and they know this because they do big shows. Like, you do the what a time part, crowd does to be alive. Like, this would be a huge record for the crowd. But the ABCD DCBA structure is interesting and it's really repetitive, but it's incredibly repetitive when you just do it again. So, like, I don't know. I feel like they kind of missed an opportunity with the hook. I think this record works because, like, my problem with Future sound right now is that, like, it's just, it feels like a lot of his stuff can sound the same.
Absolutely.
And even though Drake is not perfect on these records.
Yeah.
He is a great, like, balance.
He's a welcome change.
He totally is. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, on Big Rings, like, I mean, this is not what I would consider, like, oh, wow, this is a classic Drake appearance. But, like, I want to hear Big Rings because of Drake.
Yes, agreed. I don't even remember Future on this record, to be honest with you. And this is probably, is this the most played song so far? I think so. I think I've played this song the most out of the whole album.
Big Rings is really good.
Dope record.
Yeah. Do you think is that a possible single?
I think that one's too easy. Even around sports, I see.
Oh, yeah.
And picking that up.
They'll be playing that at Toronto games.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? I forgot what I was gonna say about that project. Oh well, if I remember it, if it comes back, I'll speak on it.
I think in general, like this whole notion of Drake balancing Future, it's really bizarre to me that people are somehow like down on Drake for this project, only because they're like, oh well, it's Future's project, and I'm like, right, but the only reason why this is interesting to me anyway and not just another 56 Nights or Monster or Beast Mode is because Drake brings a different energy. And some songs it doesn't work, but when it does work, it's something that is completely different than what Future is doing, right? It is, oh yeah, turns out like Future, Metro Boomin and another element can work better. Agreed. Like without Drake, this would just be another Future mixtape. I don't know. I've seen just a weird reaction online. Like it's almost like people are like, I can't believe Drake took a backseat to Future. And it's like, who cares? Why? I don't really understand 100% why that matters. Like he very clearly went into Future's wheelhouse, you know, worked with Future's producers. Boy Wonder is on the next beat and Alan Ritter shows up a little bit. And of course the record at the end, but like in general, like, you know, this is Drake, you know, taking a little down south trip. Like,
I think the idea is good. It sort of breaks up what could be considered monotony in Drake's music. Mm. But
well, that's a whole different story. Like Drake's music in 2015 is very, and when we get to 30 for 30, we can talk about that.
Yeah. But I don't know if it was necessarily executed as well as the idea suggests.
Oh, right.
That's what I was going to say about Big Rings. Man, I know this is a Drake and Future project, but this beat has Big Sean all over it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, 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 man. I hear Big Sean just flowing all over the place on this type of beat.
I've been driving the Metro Boomin bandwagon for a while, so I was very happy to hear this beat.
Gotcha.
Live from the Gutter. This is Boy Wonder and Metro Boomin. How do you feel about this?
This beat is crazy.
It sounds way better in the car because when those bass notes kick in,
yeah,
like you're not hearing those on your little earbud iPhone headphones. You know what I mean? Like you hear a little bit, but it's not the same.
Yep. Yeah. That beat is nuts. For me, Future's on this record for too long.
He is. There's a lot of Future, but I think the energy, I don't mind the energy from Future on him here. Like there are some records on here where a couple songs away from them where like the energy drags.
I think that's how I feel about Digital Dash.
There's a little bit of that.
Future gets two verses and two hooks before Drake comes in.
There's a little bit of that. Yeah.
I'm like, you know, people are, and yeah, there's another conversation we need to have. Remind me of the Watch the Throne comparisons.
We can just have that right now.
Okay.
Watch the Throne was a full-fledged album.
Okay.
That was created over months. That was, and it was two people who brought completely different strengths and energies to the project at completely different stages in their career.
Yeah.
This is not that project. It's a collaboration project.
Okay.
Watch the Throne was, I mean, really, it was like, it was them finishing what they sort of started on Blueprint 3.
Right.
And there's a whole Big Brother relationship and there's all sorts of stuff. And Kanye brought his whole crew in and they, you know, there is a completely different like type of album. This is not that at all. I don't know why people make the comparison. Is it? I guess it's just because it's so funny, right? Like 25, you know, modern hip hop, like the notion of, first it was the notion of producers like working with each other and all this stuff. And now it's just like, sure, Drake and Future put out an album together. Why not? Like that's stuff that never used to happen. So maybe it's just because it's not that common, but I don't know. To me, I don't really get the comparison. What do you think? Yeah.
Nah, I agree. I think that's what it is. It's just that, hey, here's two really popular artists coming together to put a project out together. Right. Watch the Throne. It's like, no, there's way too many musical intangibles for those two to even be compared. So, I mean, I understand it, but it's a very casual comparison. So, anyway.
So Live from the Gutter is, it's good, but not great.
Nah, the beat is dope, but it drags on for a little bit. It takes a while for Drake to get on. Some of these records, it's literally like,
when is Drake coming on? I know.
Yeah,
people have already done it, and I thought about doing it. Just slash. Give me the Drake version.
Yeah,
maybe Future on the hook.
I've seen Drake list versions. I heard about the Drake list version first.
That's just dumb.
No, this is what this project reminds me of at times. Here's another wrestling comparison.
Okay.
So it's called the Hot Tag.
We've talked about this.
Oh, we did. So yeah, this is a Hot Tag album where Future's getting beat up for like 20 minutes. He's Marty Jannetty. He's Robert Gibson from the Rock and Roll Express.
And sometimes Drake is so hyped up that he literally is like just running in. And it's not technically sound sometimes, but he is really just clearing house. Like, right? Like,
yeah.
He's shaking the leg and he's going in, and then he just runs crazy and he's knocking people over ropes.
He's hitting the turnbuckle, trying to get the crowd into it.
Right.
Finally makes the tag and he's a house of fire, as Gorilla Monsoon used to say.
Right. And when he comes in, he's not doing like German suplexes and like he's not getting technical. He's knocking people out.
He's knocking people out. You'll see a back body drop, an atomic drop, a lot of clotheslines,
right?
A power slam. Then he cheers and all. Yeah.
Right.
Totally. That's what a lot of this project is. It's Future getting beat up for like 20 minutes, inching over to his corner to make a tag, and the beat or the concept or something just pulling him back to the center of the ring and beating him up some more.
Can we talk about Diamonds Dancing?
Sure.
This song is fantastic. Don't do this to me. This hook is amazing.
I need a futureless version of this.
Oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Nah. Actually, what I need, let me talk about this a little bit. So this is Metro Boomin, Alan Ritter, and every producer's favorite secret weapon, Frank Dukes. Like, the structure of this song is great until the end, right? So like, I love this beat. I love Future going falsetto. I love that it's sort of soft. And then that beat, like that, when the beat kicks in on the hook, I'm just like, woo! But they missed a huge opportunity. So they've got this huge, long, somewhat controversial Drake outro. People are already speculating, who's he talking about, you know? Because it's Drake and we're all, got to know his personal
life. We know everything about him, which means that whoever he's talking about has to be the situations that we know about in the public.
Right.
What we think we know about.
So they've got this whole very hazy sound during Drake's outro. He's sort of going for a little while. How do they not structure that so that they can get him to a place where they bring the beat back in for one last final, like, 4-bar run? Can you imagine that? It'd be almost like it's a very, like, Terrius Nash style, like, sort of structuring a song where, like, you've got this very hazy thing, people are sort of relaxed, and then you just hammer back with that beat at the very end. The song would sound 5 times better.
You know what? I like the outro a lot.
Oh, it's too long. I'm just sitting there. The whole time I'm like, is the beat coming back?
I'm not mad at the outro. I actually like the outro a lot. I need the version with just the outro.
What do you mean?
I need a version with just the outro.
Why would it's too long?
No, not if it's just the outro. You're listening to a guy who rapped like over Tell Your Friends for 3 minutes straight. You're talking to a guy who commonly listens to like 9-minute Joe Budden records, like with no hook. 3 minutes of Drake rambling. You're making me nervous, or are you doing me dirty? That's the hook. You're doing me dirty is the hook.
Cool. I'm going to throw a filter on. I'm going to throw some drums on. You're going to rap over it. No.
Yo, man, Doc trying to make Marcus Graham, man. Doc doing all this mixing, and he's like, these are cool, but... Oh, man. But yeah.
You know who I sent that one beat to? I sent that beat to Flex.
What he said?
I haven't heard back from him yet. We'll see what he says. I hear him on that, but you know,
I wouldn't be mad at hearing Flex on that. I think that might work.
Anyway,
I love Diamond Dancing is cool. It's a dope record, but I really prefer. I like the outro.
You like the outro more than the hook?
Mm-hmm.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. Maybe I relate to it. I don't know. Maybe the weather's changing. And you know what I'm saying? I got some issues going on with some women or something. Maybe I'm relating to that. I don't know.
Did you relate to scholarships?
Ha ha. Nah, I didn't relate to. But you know, this part of the album is the Drake part of the album.
But you know what the problem is? This is the part of the album I do not like. This song, like the sequencing here is problematic.
The sequencing is not good.
Because this song just feels like a downer, especially after that long Drake outro. The tempo here is not what you need at all.
I agree.
The song is kind of catchy in ways, like it'll sort of worm its way into your head, but this is not like a great song. I don't know.
I agree.
And then Plastic Bag was kind of hyped up online before the release of this.
Yeah, because apparently it's funny because maybe that picture was real. because the original title that was Put It All in a Plastic Bag.
Right.
So where else do you get that from? So
right.
That said to me, like, maybe there was some truth to that. This wasn't Nas and Rakim, New York State of Mind Part 3.
Yo, don't do that to me.
From 2000 and...
It exists.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it exists now thanks to Alicia Keys, right?
Right. again, the whole concept of music for the strip club. Like, I saw somebody online put it, and this is exactly right. He's like, I just want to have slow motion footage of strippers while this song plays in the background. And I'm like, that's pretty much what the song is. It doesn't really do a lot for me, though. This is like a B-grade Drake stripper record.
Yeah, I've heard Drake do this record better.
Way better.
Man, let me pull up.
I don't really love the beat. This is some guy, Nino. I don't know who that is.
Let me pull up if you're reading this. It's too late. There's another song on his last album that this reminds me of. It's better. Go ahead.
Scholarships in Plastic Bag, I'm just like, nope. Not really what I'm looking for. I get the idea because, like, I'm the plug, which we're going to talk about in a second, picks up the energy, and they're trying to make it so that it's not just, like, you're getting, like, hype the entire time. But to me, the slower records on here are the weakest parts. And I don't think it's that – and slow songs are inherently weak. I think Drake has proved that over the years. I just think they're not well executed.
Yeah. I think this reminds me of Company a little bit.
Now, I don't even remember. I don't remember what that song sounds like.
But – right. I mean, but that's the thing, though. Like, I just feel like Drake has done this record better. So, I mean, it doesn't do it for me.
Let's talk about I'm the Plug, produced by Southside, which project did he produce for? He produced 56 Nights for Future. And he's produced a bunch of stuff for people before. The energy definitely picks back up on this one. The beat's not amazing, though. I don't know. This is a 2015 Future record, and how you feel about that depends on how you feel about this.
Agreed.
I like Drake's energy on this, though. I like his flow.
This is where the project begins to get muddy for me.
Oh, interesting.
Like, these next few records just kind of run into each other for the most part.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm the Plug is, you know, it's one of those things where it greatly benefits coming after Plastic Bag because the energy is like, oh, here we go.
But to me, my problem with Southside and Metro Boomin is like their A beats, when they make a great beat, like it's dope.
Right.
But then they sort of have a bunch of sort of B grade beats that are just, they just seem like they're generic. They're like going through the motions beats.
Yeah.
And Future isn't an artist that is capable enough of taking those sort of beats and making good songs out of them, to me.
No, I don't disagree. I don't think that, yeah, I don't think Future is the kind of guy who can take a B grade beat and elevate it. No, I would agree with that.
So then my question is, you know, geez, why didn't you just cut these next few records? There's one record that is starting to get picked up online or whatever that grew on me.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But I know which one you're talking about.
Records, like, I'm good.
Change Locations. So this is definitely a Drake hook. Like I want to
like this record.
It does not work, though. Produced by Noel. The hook's just annoying. And the beat doesn't really work for me. Like, it's just skippable. Like, I don't really want to hear Change Locations. It in no way works for me. Like, I get the idea of it kind of, but like Drake kind of sounds like he's whining. Not whining, but it's like, it's a very like, I'm just like, I don't care. You and your friends got money to spend. Like me and my friends, it's like, good Lord. Like, man, come on. No, I'm good. I don't need Change Locations, but people like Jumpman.
Jumpman definitely grew on me because I kept seeing people talk about it. And I'm like, what is this record? Like, did I just skim over this record?
The beat is cool.
It's cool, but I think the hook, the catchiness of the hook, like, makes it get stuck in your head, which makes you like the record.
Yeah, I mean, the energy picks back up. There's definitely no lyrical miracle schmiracle happening on this record. At the very least, we now have the perfect song for when Jordan walks into Magic City. I love the little outro on the beat, which only plays for like 10 seconds or whatever. It felt like they were going somewhere and they cut it. Again, more evidence that they were just like, nope, we're doing this fast. Jumpman's cool. It's weird to me. Like, this almost feels a little bit like some of the reaction to If You're Reading This Is Too Late. Like, some of the records that people picked up on, I'm like, really? That's the one you're going with? And Jumpman, like, I don't know. Like, I'd much rather people talk about, you know, Diamonds Dancing or...
But I'm seeing people talk about Diamonds Dancing.
Yeah, I mean, that hook is crazy. Or, you know, I don't know. Like, Jumpman is... I might like Digital Dash more than Jumpman. I don't know. Yeah, Jumpman is it's okay.
It's all right. Yeah.
How do you feel about Jersey?
I don't.
This is the Future solo record, and it's a 2015 Future record. Metro Boomin' Southside, Future. It's exactly what he's been doing all year. It's cool. It's cool. Again, this project could have been like 8 songs and would have been way stronger.
Yep. Agreed.
But let's talk about 30 for 30.
All right, let's do it.
Drake's solo record sounds completely different than the rest of the project.
Completely different.
And it's because it's a 40 beat.
Right.
And Drake actually just sounds completely different.
How so?
He is not, it's the difference. It's like when Ross fluctuates between BMF and introspective dope boy music.
Okay.
Drake is fluctuating between his, like, I got energy, got it. Like, he's fluctuating between that and, you know, Closer to My Dreams, which he name drops.
Right. I was going to say, well, I don't know when's the last time he sort of vented in this way. I don't know when's the last time he did an emo vent sort of record. Like, the last time he did, the most notable one I remember is, what, Paris Morton Music?
Maybe.
Because normally when he does these sort of, you know, 30, 40 bar type records with no hook, it's 5 a.m. in Toronto, it's 9 a.m. in Dallas, it's 6 p.m. in New York. It's got a braggadocious energy to it. This is very much like, you know, I sit alone in my four corner room staring at candles.
Listening to gangster music.
I was thinking more.
I know you were. From,
but I know you had to go Jewels on me. Get on your grind like clockwork. Of course you did.
But so let's talk about this, because to me, this definitely did not need to be on the album from the purpose of, like, this doesn't sound like the album, right? At all. But to me, this is Drake going, don't worry, guys. If you didn't like this, I'm still Drake. I can still do this.
Right.
It doesn't hurt that it's really, really good.
It's dope. It's dope. I'm not crazy about it. And I love these types of records from Drake, but, like, again, just like with whatever the scholarships, whatever record that was, I felt like he's done this better before.
Maybe. I mean, one thing that was, I don't know, some interesting lines in here.
Yeah, very much so. Oh, man. Yeah, we got to talk. Okay, speaking of lines, remind me to talk about lines after we talk about this record.
Okay. Would you make of the whole higher ups have come together, conspiracies to end my run and all that?
And that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, you know, what sort of relation? Of course, that immediately creates an Illuminati fireball. Ooh, higher ups.
I think I know exactly what that's about.
What is that about?
Well, actually, first, I'm curious. I want to see if Rap Genius has my interpretation. No, they didn't get much. To me, that has to. They had nothing. To me, this is this group of people who, when Quentin Miller came out of the woodwork, so all these people, whether it's the people at Power, was it? Yeah, it was not Power 105. Was it
Power 99?
No, was it Hot 97? Who was playing the Meek Mill's? Yeah, it was Hot 97, right?
Yeah, Hot 97.
Yeah, whether it's Hot 97, Flex, the people who you know, DJ Drama is sort of involved behind the scenes and all this stuff, like, the, you know, call it a conspiracy, whatever, but clearly there are a number of people who are like, no, Drake's going to get his.
Yeah, I've heard DJ Drama sort of like an innocent pawn in all this.
I've heard that he's not at all happy as how everything turned out, but clearly there was a lot of, like, it's not like Quentin Miller woke up one day and said, I'm going to send this to Meek Mill.
Yeah, I've heard Quentin Miller put out a diss record on Drake.
When?
Recently, like in the last few weeks or something like that?
No, somebody else did.
Oh, all right. No, I heard the Sauce Walker one.
Oh, okay.
I was talking, like, I don't know. I haven't heard a Quentin Miller song. Like, remember you texted me a Quentin Miller song? You were like, hey, this isn't bad. And I was like, dude,
There's two records he has that aren't bad. There's one over, I think it's Boy Wonder Beat, and it's exactly what you think it is. And then there's another one over Hit-Boy Beat with Pusha T, where he tries a little Drake-esque singing. Kind of works, kind of doesn't.
There's a reason why he's a ghostwriter.
Right. And maybe a very limited ghostwriter.
Right. I don't know. I'm curious to see, like, what could he do for, like, I don't know, A$AP Rocky or, you know, some other. I'm not saying A$AP Rocky gets ghostwriters, but, like, an artist that doesn't necessarily sound like Drake, you know. It's almost like a, you know, getting a shooting guard to run the point or something like that.
Well, let me ask you this. And speaking of ghostwriters, this sort of popped in my head, and I'm not even trying to start anything, but you and I have talked before about how, like, if you see an artist go, like, just put out a tremendous amount of music all at once, odds are they probably might be having some help because it's just hard to put out that much music.
Agree, especially if you are a major artist. Yep.
So, like, when Wayne had his run, I don't think it's any – his mixtape run, I don't think it's – and he's putting out all those records. I don't think it's any coincidence that's when there were allegations of ghostwriting, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You think Future's having any help? He's putting out a lot of records. You think Esco's got a little hit factory going on down there? Just saying.
I don't know.
On the one hand, when you listen to what Future's doing, there's not a whole lot of lyrical complexity happening on a lot of these records.
Right. So it's like, how hard is it to do those types of records?
Right.
But I'll say this, though. This is always my defense in sort of the rapidy, rapidy, lyrical, schmiracle. Like, melody, if you don't have melody, melody is very difficult to create.
Melody is hard. I'm not even trying to say.
Yeah, I know you're not, but there's just sort of rappity rap guys who are like, I could write that. Well, then do it. Like, write a melodic song. Write a catchy song that a 3-year-old can get a hold of. It's not as easy as you think it is. Not at all. Anyway, is Future having any help? Again, it's so common, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like,
right, maybe not.
Future just may be holed up in a studio in Atlanta just doing records nonstop.
Right.
Just that endless supply of Metro and Southside beats.
Right.
It's very possible.
Right. So I'm trying to think if there's any other notable lines that we should really talk about here.
Let me pull it up because I had...
You want to talk about the ghost lines part?
No.
Okay.
I mean, was that what? Oh, yeah. No, we have to. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry.
I thought that was, if anything, I thought it was clever. And I think it's the classic Drake move. You want to attack me? That's cool. I'm going to step to the side and I'm going to use that right against you. It's self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. It's just like when he talks about on the first track, taking Quentin to the strip club, like weakness into a strength. He's not explaining. There's no apologies. I'm sorry. I got help. No, none of that. Classic Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
You skimming the lines?
Yeah. I do want to talk about this because then this sort of transitions into the conversation I want to have.
Okay.
There is a line that says, it's purely for sport. I need it 30 for 30. Banners are ready in case we need to retire your jersey. Now, yeah. I've heard that that's a Jay shot. And I just want to again say, because we've had this conversation before, like, this uber sensitive sort of culture we live in, like the shots that y'all are calling shots, like they're like pea shooter shots. How is that a Jay-Z shot? How is Future saying you just a battle rapper and I'm an official trapper, something, 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 jibber jabber? How is that a shot at Meek Mill? How's that a shot?
Because Meek had said something about Future.
Before. No. I heard that.
Yeah.
That's not a shot.
It's a line. I think you get caught up in the term shot.
A shot should have had some sort of sting to it.
Right. I think what people mean is it's something that is referencing another person, possibly.
Well then don't call it a shot. It's a reference. It's a reference. It's a note. Dang, I can't think of the word of that. It's a bullet point.
See, to me, the retire your jersey part, you got to read the two lines before that.
Let me see.
And your absence.
Oh, your absence is very concerning. It's like you went on vacation with no plan of returning.
I heard Kanye. That's what I thought he was referencing.
Thought you wanted yours like I want mine. I guess you're just making moves on your own time. But just know it'll be January in no time. See, to me, that's stronger than jibber jabber.
I've had Future saying jibber jabber in my head all day today.
I just love you imitating Future saying jibber jabber. I think that's great.
Like, what rhymes with official? What rhymes with a battle rapper and official trapper? Jibber jabber.
Take that, rappers.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I thought,
I mean, even the family part, I sort of can relate to the family part, because it's always weird when, as an artist, other artists or fans of yours call you like big, like I've taken pictures with people and then I'll see it on Instagram and they're like chilling with my big bro Armand Wake Up. Like, to me, big brother, family, even friend, like that has some sort of context to it.
Chief?
No.
Bruh?
No, I call anybody bruh or chief or G or son or something like that. But like, if you call, I guess it's because I actually.
Pal. Buddy.
My taxes pay your salary, pal. I don't know. I got a whole
catalog of indignant, privileged white person lines. We can pal, buddy, chief, compadre, amigo.
Paid for Apple Care. Have you seen that picture?
Yeah,
it's like the white lady in the store, and the caption is like, "My Apple Care says dot dot dot." That's funny,
pal.
But like, yeah, I don't know. I actually have like younger kids that I mentor that actually call me big brother. So I get that. So like, if you just meet me, or I guess it's weird, because it's like, does my music make you feel like I'm mentoring you? Maybe. I mean, I try to see it from the other perspective.
They're like, you know, my big brother was Big's brother. Like they're.
let me chill, because I could actually be demeaning my audience and that would be bad. I'm really just trying to figure this out. But you know, like, I get it, though. Like, some people just throw terms around just sort of, you know, wishy-washy and all jibber-jabbery.
They don't even do family anymore. Now it's all squad goals. Hashtag. That's it.
Right. Squad goals. Pop goal. And all right. Yeah. I think that's it.
For lines. So, like, I'm assuming you really like the song, right? Or did you sort of feel it's good, but you've heard it better?
Yeah. It's good. I mean, this is probably the second most played song on the album after Big Rings. Mm. So it's probably this, Big Rings, this, Diamonds Dancing, and then Live from the Gutter.
Are you saying for you or for everybody?
For me.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, 30 for 30 is dope, but you got to be, I mean, it's a very interesting, yeah, I feel like sequencing could have just been, first of all, sequencing could have been just better on this, but really all they really had, when I say sequencing could have been better, first of all, 30 for 30, he could have put out anytime. This could have been a SoundCloud Lucy whenever he wanted. And they really could have just cut Change Locations. They could have cut one of Scholarship's Plastic Bag, maybe both.
Yep.
Like, you know, nice, short EP, but... Yep.
Doc?
We have technology. It's called the delete key.
We have technology, son.
Right. So let me ask you this. Have you heard, like... Future's little run that he's on, whether it's DS2 and the three other mixtapes?
Yeah. we had this conversation a few months ago, you know, the sort of the buzz to Dirty Sprite 2, it kind of got me a little bit. So, you know, watching the documentaries and all that stuff, it made me really interested in what Future was doing. So I went and I checked out everything, and I think March Madness was the only record that really stuck out to me. Like, oh, okay, this is cool. I see why people like this. But after a while, like, and I think even Dirty Sprite 2 had a couple records that were cool. But I get it. I'll say that much. I get it. I totally get why Future is like one of the hottest names in hip hop right now.
He is the people's champ right now.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. 95% of it is not for me, but I get it.
Yeah. So let me ask you, like, how does this project compare with his other projects?
It sounds about the same. I mean, like, honestly, if this doesn't have Drake, I don't pay attention to it.
Right.
So to me, it sounds like all this other, if this was just a Future project, like I wouldn't bat an eye at it. So it's more in the same vein. That's why I think that these are records that were, I don't want to call them leftovers, because from everything that I've heard, Future just they pretty much just they record all these records, and then Esco just puts the projects together. So right. they don't record with the idea of this is for the album, this is for the mixtape.
Right.
So, I mean, it just sounds like what he's been doing for the last year and a half.
Well, and at this point, like, you know, this, because Dirty Sprite 2 sold well, DS2, like.
Well, it's funny. I've actually heard the conversation that it hasn't sold as well as people thought.
It had a surprising first week.
Yeah, it had a surprising first week, and I think he's at like 300,000 right now.
We all thought it was going to be a mixtape.
Right.
So to me, the expectations were pretty low. I mean, they were low to me, but that's because I didn't really like Honest. And then his mixtape / EPs that he was putting out, I wasn't in love with any of them really. So I missed that. I was late to the future buzz. Because mm-hmm. I was just like, all right, whatever. I'm not paying attention to that. So I think if you're in that world, you probably think it's underwhelming. I think big picture, I don't think it's that underwhelming. And I think this is a huge look for future. And more importantly, for future sound.
How so?
Because a lot of people bought this who don't own any future records.
Got you.
Clearly,
you.
Because they're going to sell 500,000 first week. And that's more people than who bought the entire DS2 project.
True. And then this sort of gives Drake some quote unquote street cred.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I mean, I don't know if it gives him street cred. I think the secret weapon for Drake is that Hotline Bling Aside, which has been a slow burn, but is now in the top 10 on the pop charts.
Man.
Which is incredible because there's no video. And do you know how much YouTube counts?
Man, like, if I was Drum, I'd be hot.
It's not the same record.
It's close. And it's not that close. Same drums, same swing. It's close enough.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's a completely different melody and it's way better. Way better.
Chill, man.
No, come on.
I'm only saying that because my kids and I dance to Cha-Cha all summer.
That's totally cool. But it's just, I mean, Hotline Bling's a better song. But it's incredible that song, first of all, they've just started pushing that really to radio. It's been on radio, but they're just starting the promo push. And they don't even have an official video. So they don't have a big thing they can promote on YouTube yet. And that's incredible because YouTube matters so much for this stuff now. Like, it's like, so all let's say Hotline Bling aside, I think Drake's recent history shows that he has no problem making aggressive sounding records and selling a ton of copies of them in a way that people never give him credit for, right? The image of Drake as the soft rapper. And yet, whether it's Started From the Bottom, which really started this whole like renaissance of Drake making incredibly hard records, but putting them out for popular consumption. Because, you know, Drake has had hard records on all his projects, but they were never like the focus of the marketing or the singles, right?
Right.
But Started From the Bottom proved that, no, there's an audience for this.
Yep.
For this sound, for Drake on darker records. I mean, yep. Look at the records that popped off. If you're reading this, it's too late.
Right. Energy, Know Yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Those beats are hard.
10 Bands. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But those aren't, let's be clear, most of those aren't what you would describe as stereotypical Magic City records. They aren't Atlanta buzz records. So if you're talking about getting him some of that, sure, absolutely. But this isn't, to me, like if Kanye were jumping on this, then that would be giving Kanye some quote unquote street cred.
He went to church. Never mind.
What's that?
Nothing, because we had a discussion last week. Never mind.
Right. And he'd be wearing a lot of monochromatic Yeezy Season 2 outfits and.
Right. I guess for Drake though, because I can, it's weird because I can say this, but I can't say this because I've admittedly never been in a strip club. I could hear energy in one of those environments.
I totally can too. But all that to say is that there is and I talked about this earlier, like there is this, like this just self-generating cycle in Atlanta for Atlanta music right now. And Drake's stuff can get in there, but this is a product of that. If that makes sense. So like this will just be considered different than his other stuff. Mm. It is like Drake's records are, they sound current, but they always sound like Drake records. Like even though he has these sort of different sounds, you know what I mean? But like within his sort of different styles, there is a OVO sound.
Mm.
There, aside from 30 for 30, nothing on here is of the OVO sound, beat-wise. So like,
I say Dirty Dancing is. I say no. Dirty Dancing and Scholarships, and I say that little run.
Diamonds Dancing does. I don't think that sounds anything like.
I think Diamonds Dancing, Scholarship, and Plastic Bag are OVO records.
Well, right, and Scholarships and Plastic Bag are not that great. So like, I don't know. I think Jump Man, Big Rings, I think those types of records that people are going to gravitate towards. And Diamonds Dancing, I don't think they sound like OVO at all. So to me, like. You can say this is him sort of like getting, like he's getting a little bit of that Atlanta sound behind him. Sure, you can say that, but I don't know. I don't see Drake is not in the Kanye portion of his career, right? Where he's off doing, you know, God knows what, and he's not really connected to like the day-to-day trend of what things sound like. Like, I don't think Drake is that far out, because frankly, it's not like Future is, you know, living in the trap, right? In the video, I'm telling you, the video on GQ makes that abundantly clear.
Mm.
Like when they interview him, he is in his mansion. So I don't know. I think the degree to which you think that Drake is getting street cred from Future is entirely related to the degree to which you like Future's music in 2015.
Mm. Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah, I just saw somebody say, if this project counts towards Drake's Cash Money contract, this is the equivalent to getting somebody to do your homework for you.
Right. No, not so much. I don't know.
I think it's enough to where it's a lot. It's a lot. I think, again, the idea of Drake jumping on this sound sort of works, but it's just these records just aren't captivating enough.
No, there's too many. To me, there's too many missteps here for this to be like a really good project. But there are songs on here that totally work.
Yeah.
What I have no idea about is which of these songs were that first couple that they were supposedly working on, and which songs of these were the rest of them.
Mm.
Because I think Big Rings was one of the later songs, actually.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, because the title of the project is in it. And they didn't settle on that until, I guess, so this is journalist Ernest Baker.
Right.
It wasn't until Drake was like texting or whatever with Ernest Baker. And Ernest Baker, like, they were talking about what they're both doing. And he's just like, what a time to be alive. And Drake's like, And this is after he was already like recording there. So wouldn't it all be surprising to me if Big Rings was a later record? And so if that's the case, now you're sitting there looking and you're going, oh man, if Big Rings wasn't one of like the main records they went there to make, which two were the two?
Mm.
Maybe Live from the Gutter and Damage. But you know, it's interesting. I think that's an interesting thing for me, because it, you know, I don't know. I would like to know that just so I can get a feel for what did they think they were going there to make? What actually ended up? What were the sort of leftovers that they threw together? But yeah, all that to say, I think there are some good records here. I don't think it's a perfect project by any stretch of the imagination. I want to see what kind of replay value these records have. Especially some of these hooks, see if they end up being, cause there's a lot of, like, these are very repetitive hooks, which is the Atlanta sound right now. So I want to see, do they end up being catchy or do they end up being annoying?
Mm.
Right. So we'll see.
We shall see. I think this is another project that we probably should revisit again in the spring.
We'll know pretty soon. I mean, we'll know like what gets picked up and if it works, and like we'll know if they're, because the success of this isn't, I mean, the fact that it's going to sell, the fact that it's going to go gold first week means, you know, from a sales wise, it's a success already. But like, much like if you're reading this, it's too late. The success for this isn't going to be, oh, if people are really liking Scholarships in 3 months. The success for this is going to be, do a handful of records become sort of like records that Drake will come back to when he tours.
Right.
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 And to me, like, I mean, if Big Rings jumps off, that's an obvious one. I could see if people really like Jumpman, I could see that. Like, Jumpman to me is very similar to like my relationship with 10 Bands and Energy, where like, I get why people like it, but those aren't my favorite records really.
10 Bands and Energy are dope. Compared to, I don't think those records exist in the same space as Jumpman.
To me, at least, it's the very same. It's a very similar concept where people just really immediately picked up on it, and I'm just sitting there like, really?
Tim Bands and energy was too obvious to pick up on. The reason why I said the spring is because, like, Listen to Nothing was the same now.
Yeah,
it's what you call Blueprint 3, where it's like they were going towards this sound, this different sound, but they hadn't perfected it yet.
I think that album's underrated.
I don't think it aged that well.
I think it's underrated, and you're gonna hate me for saying this. I think Take Care has not aged as well as we'd like to think.
I haven't heard Take Care in a very long time, so I couldn't
some
say
of the that. Records on Take Care, you're like, yeah, but. Records like Make Me Proud, like you're just like, oh,
nope.
Really?
I didn't.
No, but I'm just saying, like, those Boy Wonder drums and those T-minus Boy Wonder records, they were really churning them out, and some of them hold up, but some of them you're just like, no.
Mm.
But don't worry, because Lord knows is always, you know.
Exactly, Lord. I mean, even Cameras, like. There's still some dope records on the album, but I haven't heard it in a very long time. But yeah, Nothing Was the Same, just sort of like, yeah, it sort of points to where they were going. And now with, dang, did he drop something before If You're Reading This Is Too Late? Am I missing something?
No, he just did a bunch of songs.
Okay. So those songs, so that's what? We Made It. That's
Draft Day.
I'm going to SoundCloud.
Yeah, there's just a ton of records.
Because then, like, with those records.
Trophies.
Like, he hit a stride. I'm sorry. He hit a stride. I feel like there's another, like, big record in the midst of that. Let me see. Scheming Up.
Oh, Tuesday.
No.
Tuesday's great.
No. Two On, Believe Me, Days in the East, Draft Day, We Made It. Mine, Versace. Okay, so those records sort of like they got him to a place, and then like he started getting repetitive, and then If You're Reading This Is Too Late sort of took him in another direction. So now I feel like with Views from the Six, there's a lot of different places he can go.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's almost like it's curious to see with this project which direction he goes in. And then to go back and sort of reference, okay, well, when he was doing this record, it was really like the setup for these sorts of records on this album or whatever he puts out on SoundCloud after the fact. That's what I was saying. I mean, didn't If You're Reading This Is Too Late, didn't that go gold the first week too?
Yeah.
Was that an Apple exclusive?
No, that was before Apple Music.
Okay.
But it was iTunes and Spotify, but.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, he has a chance, you know, to me, this gives him more time to finish Views from the Six, because the last article I read, it seemed like he was sort of having a time of trying to figure out what sort of direction he was going in.
That's really interesting because, yeah, like, you know, the end of this month would have been ideal for it. From Apple's point of view, from Drake's point of view, two reasons why. So the first round of 3 month renewals, all the people who signed up on day one, those expire. People have to decide on September 30th if they're going to keep Apple Music. And that's also the last date of eligibility for the Grammys.
Mm.
So whatever the Friday is closest to the end of September, like 2 months ago, if you would have asked me, I would have penciled in Views from the Six right around there.
Mm.
Not that Grammys 100% matter, but Drake has certainly proven that he does not need a ton of advanced publicity. Like he did, you know, the biggest problem for him is just getting all the people involved to sign off on everything. He is at a stage in his career where he does not need the big machine to crank up.
Mm.
Right? There's enough hype from just him putting it out that he could have planned it not around when do we market this, but he could have planned it around other considerations. But for Apple Music, you know, it might make more sense for them to, you know, I don't know, we gotta see. Like this might carry them for a little while. Might make sense for them to have something, you know, like they announce who knows what artist it is, but you know, I think they'll definitely have something where by the end of this month we'll see an announcement like, oh, coming soon, this album only on Apple Music, causing a bunch of people to go, oh, well, I guess I'll keep it around for another month. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. once you keep it around for one extra month, that's it. People forget that they're paying the bill.
Yeah. until they might get into like a financial bond and they might need to keep that $10 and they're like, oh, I'm spending $10 on blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy. I think that's it, man.
Yeah, I think that's it too. So we would love to hear what everybody has to say. Use the hashtag #ClockWithYourSpeakers or hit us up at CRS Podcast. How do you feel about this album? Are we right? Are we crazy wrong? Are you a big Future fan and you think we're selling short? Can you not stand Future? We'd love to hear all the feedback as always. Anything you want to plug, man?
No.
All right. Okay. Well, that's it for this week and we will catch y'all later.